from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
8 o'clock hour here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Peyton Russell in the back, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Happy Friday, y'all. Leading you into the weekend. And Raiders, Cowboys tomorrow on this radio station. Brian brought us with what he wants to see tomorrow night at 8:40 from Oxnard. But we have every NFL team ceiling and floor for this year.
And this is one of the questions that I'm sure, I mean, I know I do, but I'm sure you guys get asked if you're ever on a radio station elsewhere, what's the Cowboys ceiling this year? You know, like what is their floor? So I love the fact that ESPN came out with this and was going through every team's ceiling and floor. And I assume that they're doing this and they're assuming full health for everybody on this.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like what is the maximum you're capable of in a perfect world? And what is the disaster?
So the disaster, even if Dak is healthy, what's the disaster? Because if Dak goes down, if Mahomes goes down, I mean, there is no floor. The floor is a bottomless pit.
Trey Lance, right?
So for the Cowboys, and I've given my ceiling, and I never had this ceiling.
Uh-oh.
Their ceiling is...
Uh-oh.
13-4. I think this is an 11-win team, so it shouldn't stun me that they get to 13 wins.
Uh-huh.
But I never thought for a second that's their ceiling. I figured their ceiling would have, they would have said 12.
What's their playoff ceiling to you?
Their playoff ceiling.
Because that's where I'm taking my answer. The wins, I'm not going to kill you. I mean, 12 to 13. They're automatic for 12. What's their playoff ceiling to you? Because I have your answer, what you should say based upon our show.
Well, I would say matchups. What's the matchup? I think that they are clearly not as good as San Fran and Detroit.
Okay.
So I think second round would be their ceiling. Now, look, if they were to upset Detroit, it wouldn't surprise me.
No, they beat them last year.
With
some controversy.
But I think it's pretty fair. They would be an underdog in Detroit in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And obviously they'd be an underdog in San Francisco. So I think they're second round.
Second round is my answer for playoff ceiling.
Yeah.
They cannot get to the Super Bowl if everyone is healthy and San Francisco exists. They cannot beat the San Francisco 49ers.
What if they trade Ayuk? Would that change it?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Does not change it. They cannot beat San Francisco.
They're
not tough enough. They're not good enough. They're not scheming enough. It's not happening. So they cannot get to the Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers healthy and around.
Yeah, ceiling, anything past the second round would have to be somebody takes care of San Francisco, like somebody takes care of Detroit for you, or like something.
They can
something
beat Detroit.
Occurs.
I mean, the Packers are starting to worry me here as of late.
Last year's team could beat Detroit. I don't think this year's team can.
Detroit's physical. They're tough. They're a tough team.
I just don't think this team's good enough past their like their top 22 players. We've talked about it. Their starters on both sides are some of the best in the league. When you get past that, they are a bottom third roster in the NFL. Like, in terms of, you talk about guy 23 through 53, they're just, they've been decimated on their depth. And I just, I think the absolute ceiling here is probably second round. I think 13-4 even is maybe a little strong. But I mean, it's not impossible. I think they're much closer. I think the reality is much closer to their floor than their ceiling.
Their floor, Sean Sharif.
And what did ESPN say for the ceiling?
13-4.
13-4. Did they give a playoff ceiling or no?
No, they did not. This is just regular season.
All right. And this is each reporter. So this is Todd Archer saying their ceiling is 13-4.
The floor, 8-9. Biggest X factor is the lack of offseason additions. I'll give you the write-up. This year's inactivity as the Cowboys bank in on a lot of improvement from within with their draft and development strategy. It's hard to say the team they'll field in September is better than the one they fielded in January. When you add in the uncertain futures of Dak and McCarthy and the rest of the staff, it leads to a tenuous feel for a team that has won 36 games over the past three seasons.
I wonder who else has as big of a gap from their ceiling to their floor. But I agree with that. And I know Bobby and some on G-Bag agree with that, that 8-9 could and may even happen. Do you just totally dismiss 8-9?
I don't dismiss it. I mean, I think 9 is their floor.
Okay.
Which, I mean, when you're talking about 8-9, 9-8, it's not, no different. I just, this team doesn't have losing records. Over the last 20 years, if their quarterback is healthy, they at least are 500. You can't be 500 anymore. So we're circumcised of mosquitoes, like Jerry would say. I just think that their quarterback's too good.
If they're healthy, I disagree. I let the health jump into my mind. If they're healthy, it's 9. It's not 8.
Right. And 9 could get you in.
But they were healthy all of 2019.
And Dak wasn't the player he is now, though.
No, disagree. Dak's 2019 was one of his better years. That was just a toxic environment where their entire locker room culture was awful, and it's set up the exact same way this year.
That's true.
And so, I mean, there's too many factors here that if you look down the list of games, like, I can come up with, I'm not saying it's likely, but you got the Browns on the road.
Yep.
The Ravens at home.
You're talking about possible losses?
Yeah, these are just like games you could lose. Browns on the road, Ravens at home, 49ers and Lions. That's 4 right there. We don't know what the Falcons will be, but that's on the road. That could be 5. You've got the Texans. That's 6. Are the Bengals good this year? That's 7. 2 losses in the division? You can come up with 9.
I come up with 9. Yeah, I mean, you can. I don't think they're going to lose 2 games in the division. And they never do.
1-8 Philly.
Yeah.
1 to Philly, and then you could.
You could.
They've lost 1 to Washington plenty of times in Washington. And then you've got Pittsburgh on the road in a Sunday night football game that you never know how that's going to. I think it's not likely, but you can come up with a scenario where they lose 9.
Okay, that's fair. Now, you asked, are other teams have as big of a gap? Well, let's go down them.
And what's Philly's, by the way?
Philadelphia is same one. Exactly the same.
Okay.
They are 13-4, 4 as a ceiling, 8-9 as a floor. Their biggest X factor is Kellen Moore. Buffalo, 13-4 as their ceiling, 7-10 as their floor.
We're not talking enough about Josh Allen's receivers. I want to put that out there right now. I'm worried about my boy.
Because we don't know who they are.
Yeah.
How many receivers do they have that caught a pass last year?
I would hope 3.
One. What?
One.
Khalil Shakir is the only one who caught a pass last year.
Oh, man.
This is the biggest gap on the list, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Between ceiling and floor. 6 games here.
Miami's 12-5. Their floor is 7-10. So their gap is the same as the Cowboys.
All right.
So there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Cincinnati's floor is the same as the Cowboys, and their ceiling is the same.
All right. He may be your new favorite TV host over on FS1. Nick Wright is hating on the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been doing it. And the other day, he made a point that I know RJ Choppy really agrees with. It's a very interesting theory. Like, Jalen Hurts, right, is not throwing interceptions at Eagles camp.
None.
And Nick Wright, the newest Eagle hater, says it's a problem.
13 picks through 13 practices like Purdy had, too many. Zero picks through 20 practices, too few.
Nick, I 100% agree with you.
Thank you. I know it sounds absurd, and it sounds like I'm just picking on guys. I don't mean it. It's too few. I need a little bit in training camp of like, oh, I took a chance there. Or it either means, in my opinion, either that you are being a little too cautious.
Too cautious.
Or this horrendous back seven from last year somehow has gotten worse. Like, there's no, you need a couple interceptions where it mid-August in training camp. I am ready to be aggregated. I don't care. I know I'm right.
Why are you rolling your eyes? You don't.
I'm not a Jalen Hurts defender. You worked with this guy, right?
For 1 year.
Okay. In that year, did you find him to be a person who, like, does he just scan the sports landscape and go, what's like a thing I can say today? What's a thing that I can say that nobody's saying? Like what's an angle I can say that nobody has and that just sounds a little edgy and it's not anything that I'm actually even passionate about, because that sounds like every effing thing that ever comes out of this idiot's mouth.
Look, we haven't seen the practices, but if you just look at that and say he's got zero interceptions through 20 practices, my first thought is, oh, he's just checking it down. He's
in
not
practice.
He's either being risk averse.
Yes.
Or
he's perfect.
Or he's perfect.
Or the Eagles secondary blows again. Those are the only three things. He's having the perfect training camp. He's checking it down. Or they're horrible on the back end.
Or yeah.
Those are the only three things that can be possible.
Because like, this is
pick that apart, what I said, of those three options.
I think that in a lot of instances, like for instance, Dak has thrown hardly any interceptions at these team periods. Also, I think this is only talking about team period. It's not even talking about some of the one-on-one stuff. I think it's talking about just team period throws.
Right.
That he's
I would assume.
And
because Elliott Shore Parks has been statting this.
You spend the least amount of time in practice doing the team period stuff. Like, it's not.
But still,
that
Dak has thrown a pick in team period.
Yeah, but I mean, there's not one tip ball. Nothing.
But it's not been like a ton. It's been, and they very well could be in Philly, where they're installing a new offense, going way more over like individual fundamentals than running stuff on the defense.
Very, look, again, without seeing the practices, we don't know what kind of throws they're trying. If you were to go and you were to look at a regular season, and he went 20 regular season games without throwing an interception,
yeah,
you would probably assume, because you're watching the game, you probably say, man, there's a lot of checkdowns.
Yeah,
he's not. I mean, not
like some
single,
you'd have to have a Rodgers season when Rodgers had those incredible years in Green Bay when he felt like he was throwing two picks a year, and you know he's still making downfield throws.
Right.
You have to be playing to that level.
And nobody really thinks that Jalen Hurts is going to be Aaron Rodgers.
No.
So I thought it's a well thought out point. I've always agreed with like I don't care about interceptions. Because like they don't tell the whole story. I think it's just good counterintuitive thought process, which is going to get them killed in Philadelphia because they can't even spell counterintuitive.
I think I believe his theory more than what you sent me about who's actually running the show in Philadelphia.
I believe this. Yeah, I believe this one. Big Dom is running the show.
Great music, Peyton.
JP Finley over at NBC Sports Watch at 106.7 The Fan, our sister station, where I was on yesterday doing an interview about the Cowboys with B. Mitch. I got a lot of Washington fans in my mention because they took some sarcastic quote I said about Zeke on there. They tweeted it, and then all the Washington fans were just trolling Zeke because of it.
What was it?
I said that I expect Zeke to average at least 2 yards a carry because he's 6 feet tall, and so falling forward should get him 2 yards.
Oh, maybe Zeke won't do a training camp interview with us next year.
Yeah, I called him Bam.
Whatever will we do?
I called him Bam Morris with a work ethic.
That's an ugly reference.
Bam Morris.
It's the same style of runner. Anyway, so JP Finley and 106.7 The Fan, they're doing this NFC East, like, run around where they're interviewing other people. So they were talking to Derek Gunn from Jacob Sports, who we've referenced before. It's that Philadelphia outlet. And he said, Big Dom basically runs the show here in Philly. Big Dom has them all on the same page right now. I'm not joking. And when you consider, as soon as he got thrown off the sideline, Things spiraled out of control. We hear that Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, they need a mediator just to be able to coexist with each other.
Big Tom, baby.
And then somebody saying, well, now that he's back, he's running the show and they're all on the same page. I can buy this, dude. And this is going to be something that, if this is accurate, that Nick Sirianni has this little control and this little respect, this will stick on his resume forever, and he will never get hired anywhere again after this.
But this also was a brilliant move by him, because he definitely has seen the movie Casino. Because this is what he did, is just by changing his job title, is exactly what they did to Ace. They said, you know what? You're no longer the game. You're now the food and beverage guy. So we don't have to. We don't need you to have a license. This is it. This is a loophole. He found a loophole. Bobby, you cannot hate. This is a great coaching maneuver.
Sure. Yeah. Delegating. That's what it is. Delegating. I think this is, if you're going to allow the Jersey club bouncer to run your culture, like, good luck.
All right. Inside the Star round, the NFC East here on Sean and RJ, Cowboys Raiders tomorrow night. You're not allowed to leave the mound. You're not allowed to leave. Is that going to be a new Major League Baseball rule? And why you can't be raw on the plane this weekend, like RJ Choppy traveling to Michigan? Next, with Brian Broaddus from Cali as well on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The pitch. Smith swings. It's a number. First base side. Off the mound is Duran. He throws to first, and he got him to end the ball game. Josh Smith takes his helmet and slams it down in frustration. As the game comes to an end, the Twins win it by the score of 3-2.
Rangers lose 10 games back, 3-7 in their last 10. This is Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on 105.3 The Fan. And they're talking about another little alteration in Major League Baseball for the pitchers.
Yeah, so this is kind of
interesting. Brian brought us 840 Oxnard to preview Cowboys Raiders tomorrow. Back to you.
This is a very interesting rule change that they are tinkering with the idea. It's in the very rudimentary stages of, is that the right word, Bobby?
I don't know.
Early stages?
I don't know.
All right, yeah, whatever.
I don't know that word.
It's in the early stages. But they're just talking about it. They're trying to find ways to make the game better. Though the rule changes from last year were great. What they're trying to do here is try to figure out how to bring back the importance of the starting pitcher. The starting pitcher is a dying breed. It's like the running back almost. It's like just get somebody to get you to the bullpen. So what they're considering and what they're throwing out there is an idea of a six-inning minimum. Okay? Got to go six. The primary goal would be to immediately restore the prestige of the starting pitcher. You're able to tune into a game knowing that the starting pitcher is going to be around. Now, there are some kind of exceptions. If he gets to 100 pitches, you can move him out. If he gives up four or more earned runs, not runs, earned runs, or if he gets hurt, right? And you're that to avoid manipulation, they're going to require you to go on the IL.
Oh.
So you can't just say, oh, he's hurt. We're going to take him out. No, it's you're going to have to miss him two starts.
Oh. Mm.
So that is another side to this.
So they couldn't have pulled Jack Leiter out of his dominant performance last night.
What did he do last night?
3 2/3 innings, he struck out 11 batters. Every single out he got was a strikeout last night.
And the miles per hour was 3 up?
He was up damn near 99 miles per hour on his fastball. His slider was up 4 miles per hour to 89.
Yikes. So that's an idea. And the what they're trying to do is two things. Like, one, like I said, restore the prestige of the pitcher. But this would force teams and pitchers to change the way they pitch. Right now, I talked to a former major league pitcher last night.
Whoa, what did Holland say?
It wasn't that one. No. It wasn't him, and it wasn't the one that works here. He said,
"Love you, Mike Adams."
Not Mike either.
Dries.
Damn it.
I haven't got it finally.
He said, like, one of the pitchers today tried to strike the batter out from an 0-0 count. Right, they try to strike you up before they've even thrown a pitch, and like if you look at it, that causes your pitch counts to go up. And from a conditioning standpoint, you don't really want to throw more than 14 pitches per inning. We saw what happened with Bradford last night; started getting a little tired. When you start throwing more than 14 an inning, you're less efficient and you're throwing with your arms and not your legs. And then that is where an injury happens. And he's like, just ask any pitcher, ask Bassick, ask anyone. If you throw 100 pitches through 8 innings, the next day, you're not sore. You're not tired. But if you throw 100 pitches through 4 innings, you are dead the next day. You feel so sore. They're stressful pitches. You're throwing more in a less, in a more condensed time, and it just makes you feel worse. And it makes sense. So what they want is they would love for them to pitch in a different way. So you're not just trying to strike everybody out and you're throwing more to contact, which it can be day, it gives you up runs, but it's going to allow you to go deeper in the games. So that's one thing that baseball might be trying to do. I actually think it's a good idea. I don't know that it would ever work. I don't know it would ever pass. And I don't know how it would play out in the actual field with injuries. But I think the idea of getting them to pitch in a different way where they're not just trying to strike you out from the absolute first pitch of the at-bat isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've had this rash of arm injuries. There was the complaint that at the beginning of the season, they're like, yeah, every prototypical ace is hurt to start this season. And you've had that issue with the starter. So it just seems odd that it's like, oh, we're having issues with arm injuries. Let's make them throw six innings.
Yeah. What's the minimum bullpen rule again?
It's 3 batters. So there's another rule.
Has that worked out, you think? Because that's my mind immediately goes to how you're going to judge injury. And how has that worked out? Like, you have to stay out there.
Yeah, I think you have to stay out there through an end of an inning. That's what it is, something like that. But I don't even notice it anymore.
Right.
I don't even notice it. They're also saying one thing they could do to, instead of doing the 6th inning rule, is up that 3 batter rule to 5 batters. Yeah, I said there are 5 batters now, which would be like, all right, I'm going to leave my starter out. He's a better pitcher, theoretically.
All right, Rangers, Twins, do it again tonight, 6:30 pregame, first pitch, 7 o'clock on this radio station. If you're traveling this weekend or soon, like RJ Choppy, we have some things you need to know for the airplane.
Okay, so this is the first one. An American Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing recently. Great. And you go, oh my gosh, what was wrong? Is there something wrong with the equipment? Something like that. Well, it was a Boeing. It was a Los Angeles to New York American Airlines flight. They had to make an emergency landing in Phoenix. For what reason? Well, two passengers spotted lice on a woman's hair.
What?
Yep. Passengers spotted lice crawling on a woman's hair in midair. Passenger on the flight, Ethan Judelson, shared his experience with People Magazine, describing the confusion and uncertainty among passengers. He said that the crew provided minimal information about the diversion, leaving passengers puzzled. This incident happened in June. It just came to light this week. He said, I look around, no one's on the ground, no one's freaking out. I'm like, it can't be that dire, but we land, and as soon as we land, the woman across the aisle from me shoots up and rushes to the front of the plane. After the plane made the landing, Mr. Judelson overheard hushed conversations among fellow passengers, and according to eyewitnesses, the issue was over lice, that when they had informed the flight crew that there's lice here, they had to land the plane. They gave them vouchers for hotels that night, rebooking.
Can you see lice?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
you look, that's why you got to comb and you got to look. But
so where are you and your wife going after she did this on the plane?
I'm saying Kristen would absolutely do this. Kristen.
You cannot land a plane for lice.
They jump, right? That they jump person to person. It spreads very, very fast. But my gosh, like I would be, how livid would you be that you miss your connecting flight?
Yes.
Because somebody had lice in 17D.
If Noah Lyles is on this plane and then midair he goes, I have COVID. Are they landing the plane for COVID and getting everybody off of the plane?
That's a really good question.
I want to
is COVID lice?
Which is
lice COVID?
Which do they consider
COVID? I would think they would freak out over more.
I would think so. Kristen would definitely freak out over the lice more. Kristen, every hotel I go in.
Maybe I'm underestimating how like. Not contagious, but how fast lice spreads.
Two biggest ones Kristen cannot stand. Lice and bed bugs. Every hotel I go into, she goes, hey, just please, would you check the mattress? Make sure you're not bringing bed bugs home. Every single time. And so this would be one where she would be all for this. I wanted him to ground the plane for that guy's breath that was next to me on the way to Oxnard.
Was that bad?
It was that bad. It was just filling the air more than the lice were.
All right, so another plane thing is, and we've talked about this one before. I don't like the term, so I won't even use it, but it's when you're all by yourself on the airplane, and you do nothing. You do nothing on the airplane. It's a raw experience.
Yeah, I don't even know if we can say this term.
Yeah, I was just calling it travel. I would call that travel.
Travel.
Doing anything.
So, obviously, this trend, and we talked about this trend before, where you're
calling it raw and an animal that barks.
Bow wow. Raw perro. That's it. So, the trend is you do nothing, right? You don't have anything to read. You don't watch a video, you don't listen to music, you don't drink, and you don't eat, and you don't get up and use the bathroom, right? You are stationary. There is no movement at all. So that is the trend. Well, experts are now seeing.
That I feel like I was put in prison. You may as well throw me in the hole.
It sounds like something Aaron Rodgers would do. Yeah, you know, on the team flights, I don't do anything. I just sit there. I'm there.
Be with my thoughts.
Yeah, they call it a digital detox.
Meanwhile, he's probably tripping balls.
Yeah. Yeah, they call it something called a digital detox. And look, if you want to take the time and just be in your own thoughts, great.
Yeah.
But the experts are saying that when you do this, if you really want to do this the way it's intended, you don't drink water, you don't eat, and you don't get up and use the bathroom. You are stationary. And they are seeing a rise in blood clots and dehydration issues because you get dehydrated on an airplane very, very easily. And if you are on a 7-hour flight and you don't move, you run a major risk of blood clots. And they say it could kill you. So if you're going to do this, just at least drink some water and get up and go to the bathroom. You want to sit there in your thoughts and not have a movie or something to read, and you just want to read the
magazine,
the back of the escape calendar, of the escape pamphlet that they have on how to get out on a water landing. Great, just get up and use the bathroom like every couple hours.
Yeah,
I had to
get up and join the Mile High Club.
I had to. Is that your segue?
That is my segue.
Well done.
Sorry about that. All right, Chop, have you ever engaged in the Mile High Club? Anybody here?
Would you?
Have you tried?
I never would. I cannot. I'm terrified to use an airplane bathroom. I go in there. I could win. I'd put Simone Biles out of business with my balance in an airplane bathroom.
Especially 4 years ago.
Yeah. I'm not touching the sides. I'm standing there with supreme balance because I'm terrified of touching anything in there. I don't even want to take Ollie to Disney World because of the day when he may need to use the airplane bathroom and I would have to take him in there with him. If he ever sat down, I can't. I have a phobia.
Yeah.
And even using the airport bathroom, I'm terrified of. That's the worst smelling bathroom that there is, the airport. I gag.
There is no bathroom smell worse. Not even close.
It's musty.
Oh,
dusty.
It's awful.
Rank.
It's awful. And it's like you hear like music in the background.
Yeah. I'm seeing newspapers being read.
It's the only place people still read newspapers.
It's the only place people read newspapers.
It's supposed to be a detox, a digital detox in there. So if you want to if you want to get busy in an airplane bathroom, to paraphrase old Shock G, or on the Humpty Dance, or in the air, I guess, you're going to need to be a lesbian, apparently. A 24-year-old woman, a TikToker in the U.S., shared, because this is from the U.K., this story, shared a bizarre travel ordeal that she had with American Airlines recently. American Airlines had permanently banned her from flying due to an alleged inappropriate behavior, despite her assertion that there was nothing to it. Erin Wright said she was trying to board a plane to New Orleans for her sister's bachelorette party. The gate agent looked nervous and said, "Ma'am, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but you've actually been banned from flying American Airlines." Shocked by the news, Wright insisted she had done nothing wrong.
Tiffany Gomez.
Despite her efforts to understand the situation, the gate agent remained tight-lipped, citing internal security issues. "I was confused, frustrated, overwhelmed, but I was determined to make it to my sister's celebration." Well, 12 days later, she received an email revealing the reason for her ban: alleged sexual activities with a man in the airplane's bathroom on a previous flight. The accusation left her baffled. She said, "I'm 24 years old, a lesbian. You see me? Am I having sexual relations with any man? No." So after calling American Airlines and disputing it with her mother, they finally removed her from their no-fly list when they were like, "All right, fine, you're a lesbian. You probably weren't having sex with a man on the flight."
That's Is she it. A gold star?
That's how she got off the no-fly list.
That was the investigation?
That's it. She held up her gold star, yeah, like Chop just said. And
that's
and
a lawsuit. That's a lawsuit.
That is a lawsuit. My question is, was she never in the bathroom with a man?
She doesn't even know what they're referencing. She said, like, I have no idea what instance they would be referencing. She thinks it's a case of mistaken identity.
By the way, are there cameras watching us?
I don't think it's allowed to have a camera in the bathroom.
No. In the aisle? Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Do they
have we never talked about that?
We've
are there
never
security cameras on an airplane?
Right. There should be.
There should be.
I don't know. It's a good question. Let's look it up right now.
Never talked about that ever before. What is Brian Broaddus looking for in tomorrow's game against the Raiders? That's next. You got the answer?
They do. They do have them.
They do have them.
Yep.
Broaddus from Oxnard, below the belt after this. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're
not.
Over to you, Bobby.
What does Brian Broaddus want to see from the Dallas Cowboys this Saturday? Brian Broaddus joins us live from the tennis courts in Oxnard, California, to preview this weekend's game and talk about maybe what he's seen out in practice recently. Brian Broaddus, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Bobby. How about yourself?
I'm great.
Brian, I need to interrupt here and ask a question.
Sure.
Doing G-Bag on the road, I know that they say you're just like a guest, a contributor.
I am a guest there, yeah.
The pros and cons of not doing it in person. Do you miss anything about watching any of their mannerisms, dealing with them in the commercial breaks, or is it so awesome like Peyton feels it is when we're out of the room?
I kind of feel like that. I love being with the guys. I miss today. I know they're going to be at the ballpark today. I love that part of it. I mean, it's funny because when we do our pre-show meeting, we don't talk to each other. But with, you know, the interaction, I mean, Eric, it's funny. Eric will go talk to his kids. Zach will look up stuff, you know, on the internet. Dawson will kind of he's always doing a read. Then I'll go sit on the couch. So, yeah, I mean, the thing that's hard is when you have guests. You know, and when we have Chris Young on, or then you have the Ranger player guest, that could be a little bit different or a little bit challenging. But, you know, we did that pandemic radio for 2 years, I felt like, and we kind of got used to, you know, when somebody needed to jump in, or, you know, those are the kinds of things you deal with. But, yeah, it's I really enjoy being out here. I really enjoy.
So you're not fed up yet?
No, hell no. If they said you could do another month of this, I'd absolutely do it.
When is the last time that you thought about going back to scouting? How many years ago?
It's been a long time.
It has.
Yeah, when Bennett got into college, and he's now a junior at Texas, I thought about, okay, he doesn't, he really doesn't need me around anymore. And, but I was at that point, you know, I was in my late 50s, or So, yeah, they're really not interested in hiring older guys now for scouting. They really like the young information gatherers and stuff. They don't like the guys that would probably have an opinion. A lot of scouting departments don't do that anymore. Like their really? Main guys. Yeah, their main guys, the general manager, the directors of pro personnel, college scouting, those are your primary decision makers with the coach.
But you can have, you have to have an opinion though.
You
as a scout,
it's changed a lot.
Rams, so what would you do?
Rams don't do that. Rams use all their area scouts as basically private investigators.
There you go.
Oh,
Dirt on guys?
Basically just finding out dirt. Info, it's not dirt. Like just info about character, but they don't ask them to make scouting evaluations.
No, they
anymore.
Don't. They
what?
Just, yeah, yeah.
So not like talk to me about hand placement,
no.
Moving horizontally.
Nope.
You're telling me a lot of scouts don't do that?
No,
yeah. they've got guys that they now pay, you know, like $50,000 to these young kids, and they just go out and they get the information. They talk to the trainers, or if they can, they talk to the football ops guys or gals. They talk to equipment people. They just get information, and they provide the information. And then there's primary, like I say, there might be three or four guys or gals in a front office that'll end up making the final decision and putting together the board. Yeah, they look at the players and stuff and, you know, write stuff down and things, but it's really about when they sit there those 4 months, they guys and gals put together their board, and it's a lot of it is done without scouts' input.
All right, so that might be fine today in 2024, but my assumption is that all those guys from the director of player personnel and scouting come from scouting as in their youth. So how are you going to get those guys in 20
that's
years
why a lot
when
of
they
teams
retire?
That's why a lot of teams are jacked up, because the young guys and gals really don't have the experience. Now, they have the experience of going on the road, but you get to me, you know, Will McClay's expertise is actually pro personnel. He was not a road scout at any time in his career. He sat in an office and evaluated. There's a lot of guys that are general managers. I think the good ones are the ones that know the league. They know who's playing for the Eagles and the Commanders and the Giants. They know the rosters, and they know who they have to compete against, you know, and what types of schemes and stuff they're dealing with. The college scout guy is – you'd be amazed the number of times a college scout guy gets his 500 names, evaluates them, and then when the draft's over, completely forgets. Then it's on to the next 500 players. Then right. It's on to the next 500 players. You would be surprised that when they come back and they try and talk about, well, so-and-so, you know, they'll bring it up in a meeting. They'll say, well, so-and-so's doing this nickel corner for the Rams.
Yeah.
And I remember a couple times in meetings, I'm like, when's the last time you watched this kid play? And they go, well, you know, I was kind of, you know. And I'm like, no, he's not playing nickel corner. He's an outside corner, you know. And he's actually not playing as much. He's been active the last, you know. They try and bring up examples. So, I, that's why people hate me. Because I check them. I check them in a meeting, you know. And so, but, you know, I also don't believe in having BS meetings where, you know, guys are just, or gals are just throwing stuff out there that's not factual.
Brian Broaddus from Oxnard, presented by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, Brian, so last hour I was going through the five players that I felt like had the most on the line this week in this game, the most to gain or lose.
What do you got?
So the guys I threw out there, I said Trey Lance.
Yeah, they need Trey Lance not to throw the ball 40 times this game.
Yeah, or if he's going to throw it 40 times, actually connect on some of them.
No, I mean, seriously, they don't need him to throw the ball 40 times this game. But he, you're right. I think Trey Lance, I think they understand what they have in Trey Lance. I really do. I think they understand that they're going to have to work with him, and it's going to continually have to work with him.
I've got Eric Scott Jr. just with – poor performance. They've brought in Andrew Booth, needs to show up a little bit more, lost his sponsor.
Sure.
Cooper Beebe, who now is getting an opportunity to actually fight for the center role when we felt like it had kind of been Brock Hoffman's.
Yeah, the Brock Hoffman was running with the ones yesterday.
I got Willie Harvey, who didn't play as well as he's been practicing, so you don't want to develop the reputation as the guy who doesn't carry over his practices. And then the last guy I had was Jalen Cropper, who's played really well, and you got to continue your kind of Dennis Houston path if you want a shot at making this roster. Anybody else that heading into this game you feel like, hey, this is a big game for them?
Yeah, take any running back you want to, you know. I think this is a game, and I think Mike McCarthy, and yesterday, once again, he talked about that Malik Davis is having a really good camp. I know, you know, we were sitting here listening, and I'm like, okay, I trust you here, Coach. But you know, they've got finally all these running backs are healthy. So you have Deuce Vaughn, you know, you have Pete, you have Connor Freeman. They're all healthy. They need to kind of figure this thing out. And this is why, Bobby, when I was talking about, you know, with Trey Lance. They don't need to throw the ball 40 times this game. If they ran the ball 40 times, I would be more happy than watching Trey Lance throw the ball 40 times. They got to figure out some things up front. I know it's not their starting offensive line, and it's their a lot of their backup guys, and I know Cooper Beebe's going to be out there. I mean, he's going to, you know, you can maybe show a little bit of what he can do in the running game, but they've got to figure out something with this running back room. The three positions we kind of talked about that they needed to address, they've addressed two of them. The defensive tackle spot, the edge spot, and then the running back spot was one that we were thinking about. They need to figure that out right now.
In terms of playing time and getting starters some burn and letting them out there, I mean, we've kind of lost the traditional dress rehearsal game, quote-unquote.
Yeah, that's what these scrimmages have been.
Yeah, and so knowing we may not be getting that, is there anybody in particular like, hey, I'd really like it if Tolbert was actually out here in some of these games so we can see some of it carrying over? Is there anybody that you'd really like to see spend maybe a half out there or a full quarter or a few drives? Is there anybody in this game that you're looking for from that respect?
Yeah, you know, if Overshown was completely healthy, that was a guy I would like to really, really see get some burn there. You could take any one of these defensive tackles, like a Mozzie Smith. You could take him and play him quite a bit, and I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I think you would actually get something out of this. I'm kind of interested in Chauncey Golston as an edge now. You know, they've moved him from playing from tackle. I'm kind of looking for some backup edges as well. So those would be a couple of guys. You know what? I really like what I've seen from Bell. Wilson got banged up yesterday with his knee, but he's okay. You know, they've got to figure out some things, like I say, with these corners. But this Julius Wood that made the interception the other day, mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested in him just because of the fact that he's, you know, you might look at a situation where Wilson could this safety room be the one that could have the surplus that maybe you can make a trade with. Maybe you could take one of these safeties. If a guy like Julius Wood can cover and be as effective as he is playing against the run, does that allow you to move on from a guy like Wilson, you know, and then Bell be the star? You know, you're just kind of playing those games in your head. I wouldn't mind for these, like the guys like Carson and those guys, even though Carson, he had his wisdom teeth removed the other day, so I don't know how his availability will be for this game. But I'm kind of interested in the secondary, especially at the safety. If there's a surplus there, that maybe you can move one of those guys and pick up a guy that you might need, or pick up a draft pick from moving on from one of these guys.
If, I know you're doing 14 jobs out there. If you get a free 5 minutes, check out your boy Lombardi from this morning.
What'd he do?
He was spitting fire. We got him riled up. He was defending.
Who was he mad at today?
Us.
Sean got him going a little. He kept poking him a little. He was trying to get him going on Dak.
He was defending Jerry. He's like, stop criticizing Jerry for waiting too long on these contracts or not paying these contracts. And he was fired up.
Huh. Okay, yeah. I'll go back and give it a listen.
Who do you think was right, probably? Without hearing it, who do you anticipate was right?
No, Mike's never right. Don't. Mike's never right.
Thank you so much for another incredible week, and enjoy this weekend.
Hey, appreciate you, boys. Take care.
You're the real MVP. That's why he's got a sponsor. Brian Broaddus, presented by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. during Below the Belt from training camp, the hardest working man in this building. Sorry, Bobby.
Damn,
I took that mantle from you. Yeah. All right. It's RJ Choppy's last segment to own for a week. You can eat like a Longhorn. You can speak like Lou Holtz and say goodbye to RG3. College football kegger on a Friday is next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.